And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
And welcome, folks, to this edition of the Hagman and the Hagman Report. I'm Doug Hagman, the helm, fellow investigator, researcher, and most importantly, my son, Joe Hagman. Together, we are something I like to call the Hagman and the Hagman Report. We've got a great show lined up for you tonight. Got some streaming issues, so if you're listening or if you're watching this live, you may have some glitches. Unsure exactly where that is coming from. Before we get started on tonight's show, I want to just welcome everyone and remind people, portions of tonight's broadcast brought to you by ProFlowers.com. Guys, have you taken care of your wife or your mom for Valentine's Day? Well, if not, ProFlowers to the rescue. The pros at ProFlowers, they've got you covered. Folks, visit ProFlowers.com. That's ProFlowers.com. Use our keyword or promo code Hagman, H-A-G-M-A-N-N. And that's ProFlowers.com, promo code Hagman. Now, for those of you just joining us, well, I guess that's most of you, right? Given the fact that we just began a streaming, for those of you joining us live, I did a video, and it's on our channel. If we have an opportunity, because of the streaming issues, we're going to play that for you, and you can get an idea of what the situation in Burns, Oregon was all about. That situation ended today, about 5 or 6 hours ago, where the four remaining protesters outside the Burns, Oregon encampment, they did stand down and submitted themselves to authorities, the federal government, the FBI, and Chris Ann Hall, who we're going to have on the show at some point, as soon as we can get our schedules together, we'll be talking about that. She played an integral part in brokering the stand down with the Patriots and the federal authorities. Now, we're going to be addressing the situation in Burns, Oregon today, or the first hour. In the second and third hours, Dr. Michael Lake will be joining us. Dr. Michael Lake is a fantastic author and evangelist, researcher, Bible expositor, is going to be joining us hours number 2 and 3. Looking forward to that. Good friend of the program, very, very intelligent man, very, very smart guy. So that's hours 2 and 3. The first hour, going to be going over really the backstory of Burn, Oregon. What is going on? What happened? What started all of that? And you know what, folks? This story, and it saddens me to really believe that. Basically, I was gamed. Now, you know, I've been an investigator for 30 years, and I was gamed about what Oregon was all about. I didn't really understand the story. And very few websites on the internet have the backstory that allow you to understand really what's going on. The most concise and up-to-date summary, the backstory that I found was on Conservative Treehouse. Now, that they've got they go back into the 1870s, but what has taken place in Burns, Oregon, with the grievance of the ranchers, property owners, if you own property in the United States, I don't care if it's, and I think I might have said this in the video, I don't care if you live in Westchester County or Idaho or Florida, it doesn't matter. This, you better pay attention to what's taking place, because one of the key components of the communist agenda is to abolish private property. This is what this is all about. It's an affront to your rights by the federal government. Now, boy, 5 years ago, I wouldn't have thought myself to be sitting here saying the federal government, you know, it's bad. What they're doing is bad. No, this is criminal. It goes even beyond criminal. It goes into pathological. But I'm here to tell you, to the conservatives now out there, to the conservatives, if you are a conservative, or you say, I'm a conservative, and you and you have been a keyboard warrior and standing there, you're sitting there at your desk and saying, oh, these are idiots, you know, they should stand down or they deserve to be shot. Let me tell you something, okay? They have more guts and had more guts and have the moral high ground. I see that phrase bandied around all over the place. Oh, they don't have the moral high ground. BS. They have the moral high ground. They have the moral high ground. We have the moral high ground. And you damn well understand that your rights right now are being trampled on by the federal government. These people took a stand. All right? These people took a stand. And for you out there, the self-professed conservative, to sit there on in the comfort of your own home on your keyboard professing to understand the situation when you don't have a clue, shame on you. Shame on you. Now, I spent 3 hours last night after the show. 3 hours after the show last night. Recording, listening and recording the audio feed. Now, there was a live feed. We got, 800, 900 emails I got, even some personally. Hey, cover this, cover this. Cover this live feed. Cover what's going on in Oregon. I really considered it. I did. In fact, I was going to call you, Joe, and have you come back to the studio last night.
Hey, I would have done it.
I was going to have you come back or come this morning, too. It was like 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning, and I stopped. Or 1 o'clock, I don't know what time it was. And then this morning, I got up and came to the studio and started watching that real early and listening to it real early, the live feed. And I continued right through their stand down. Notice I'm not saying surrender to the FBI. I'm saying stand down. Now, one thing I didn't say in the video is there were four holdouts, if you will, if that's the right word. Three walked out of there without incident. The fourth, David Lee Fry, 27-year-old guy from Ohio. Things kind of went sideways, if you will. I don't presume to know what was going on in his head, but he held out for another hour or so and was kind of talking about some crazy stuff. And at one point he said, look, I'm going to kill myself. You know, I'm not going to be taking lives, so I'm going to kill myself. And it was just, it was hard to listen to. But the reason we didn't go live, and I'll just say this now, to broadcast this. And again, I got hundreds and hundreds of emails to say, go live. It reminded me, I guess at the end of the day, I was trying to think, well, what, it's already being memorialized on audio. I was memorializing it privately. Using our studio equipment. So what would be the purpose of getting it all out to the, you know, getting it out, in real time? I didn't see any necessary or anything necessary to do that. That was my judgment call. You know, it's up to you. It was up to me and it was kind of up to you to criticize or to support that. It doesn't matter to me. That was a decision I made. It kind of reminded me in a way of like an O.J. Simpson chasing the white Bronco. And airing that, and everyone cheering and stuff, and both sides cheering, and that's what I saw. It actually devolved into that situation on that live stream. At one point, there were, I don't know, 30 some, or I think last night it was like 20 some thousand that were watching it or listening to it live on a YouTube live stream, and the comments were abhorrent. Shame on those people who came in and commented. Well, I'm not even going to get into the raunchy comments, but shame on you. But really, more importantly, what gets me are the so-called conservative Christians, and of which I was one, I suppose, saying this is not my fight. Well, yeah, it is my fight. Yeah, absolutely, and it's everyone's fight. Now, I'm not talking to the progressive, liberal, Marxist idiots out there. I'm not talking to you at all. All right, you go, you know, keep hugging a tree or you know, whatever you do. I don't know. No, I don't care about you guys. Or I mean, in terms of the context of this situation. But if you're a conservative Christian out there, you better pay attention. Go ahead.
And thank God that it ended without further bloodshed.
Yeah.
There were times, and you know, the night that the arrest happened with Bundy and Finicum was shot dead, I stayed up till 5 in the morning listening to the different from the ham radio broadcast to the live streams that were coming out of there, and the talk was kind of what you reiterated. The one guy was how he was talking last night, you know.
Yeah.
They're not going live.
And Joe, we have all of this on video or on the archived on. We have this.
Yeah.
We've got two different hard drives, and we have it all archived, the audio. So from the negotiations early this morning, from their early this morning when they were standing down the federal authorities to, or the FBI to the last man out. And Chris Ann Hall, the constitutional attorney, Joe, you didn't really get the chance to hear what I captured.
No, I didn't.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to, after the show tonight, I'll probably spend some time in the studio editing down the audio. She did a marvelous job, and it's an unenviable position when you are in that position of talking to four people, and they're in a very heated exchange. I mean, imagine yourself. Imagine yourself being in a tent, and you've got a pistol or a rifle, whatever. But think about having like a half a dozen white or red dots on your chest. You look down and you see all these little moving red dots. Okay, well, that's kind of what where these people were. So Chris Ann Hall, anyway, was brokering this. It was part of one of the people who were brokering this stand down, as was Reverend Franklin Graham, who was there on the premises. And a Nevada assemblywoman, she was there as well. I'm going to reserve comments on her, but I do want to say that Chris Ann Hall really, in my view, really diffused the situation. And she walked in as not as a negotiator, but as an advisor. She assumed a role as an advisor, in an advisory role, and she ended up having to become almost like a hostage negotiator, I guess it would be the way to phrase it. And at one point, the guy said, yeah, I'm going to blow my head off. I'm not coming out of here alive. Put a pistol to his head, and she talked. Well, she and this other guy, the person who live streamed this, Gavin, I don't recall his last name, talked him down. Now, I'm not going to armchair quarterback anything, because you just have no idea on the pressure when you're in that position. You got no idea what the pressure is like. And I've been, you know, back in the day, I was, you know,
yeah,
I've been there. So I don't, at least once. I mean, and I don't understand. And it didn't end well. It ended up very badly. So, yeah, I'm not going to second guess anyone in this situation. But anyway, what we can do is we can. I did a video for my office this morning.
Yeah.
Well, let's roll that, and then we can get into commentary.
Yeah, some commentary and then some news before Dr. Right. Lake comes on.
All
and,
right.
Yeah, well, let's do that. How long is the video?
I don't know. I don't know, 15 minutes?
Okay. So, all right. Well, yeah, Eric, you can go ahead and...
This gives a... Folks, pay attention. This gives a backstory. This is what you need to know, I think. Doug Hagman here for the Hagman and Hagman Report. Today is Thursday, February 11th, 2016, coming to you to discuss a very important issue, and that is the brainwashing of the American public, the conservatives especially, about the situation in Burns, Oregon, which culminated today with a stand down of four individuals, those being Sandy and Sean Anderson, David Lee Fry, and Jeff Banta. Now, what was the situation all about? And I've got to tell you, I'm saddened by the lack of coverage by the mainstream media, but I guess we expect nothing less. I'm also saddened, mostly, however, by conservatives or self-proclaimed conservatives using social media to change the narrative as to what this is all about, to make the protesters, the people who are standing in the way of the federal government, of this land grab, to make them out as kooks and nuts and just... wrong people, wrong time, and such. It's amazing to see the narrative being managed and people falling for this. So this message is to you. If you are on a conservative internet website or forum, or if you're using social media to demonize these people, you better make damn well sure you know what you're talking about, because you are part of the problem. And I'm speaking to you, Mr. and Mrs. Conservative, who own property and think, well, these are just a bunch of whack jobs out there. This fight has nothing to do with me. Think again, because it certainly does, and it certainly will, because at some point in time, you're going to be affected. If you're not going to be affected, your children will be affected, or your grandchildren will be affected. Here is the long and short of what would happen in Oregon and the basis for this fight. And I found very little about the history and about really what this was all about, except for a few internet sites have some good information. One, the Conservative Treehouse, had a great summary synopsis of this whole situation going back into the 1800s. And I understand it's just a wonderful way to understand the buildup for today. But really at issue today is the unlawful and unrestrained federal government land grab to take away private property from the individuals here in America. And folks, this is what it's all about. It's about denying your right to own land and doing everything in their power to take land that you already own away from you. So if you're listening to this in the comfort of your home in Westchester County, New York, then that's really, you better listen to this as well, because it's going to affect you. It can affect you, and you're going to be screaming, and no one's going to come to your help if you don't stand up and come to the help of others. All right. At the epicenter of all this, just to kind of back up and to summarize, at the epicenter of all this are two individuals, Dwight Hammond, a 74-year-old guy, and his son, Stephen Hammond. Now, they own a ranch in Harney County, Oregon. This is the location of the Mulherne National Refuge. The refuge itself surrounds the Hammond Ranch. This refuge was established in early 20th century by Theodore Roosevelt. He declared it to be an Indian reservation, and which was a joke because there was no Indians there, and a refuge for wild birds and stuff to fly in and such. But it was ridiculous. It was a breeding ground for native birds. Well, this Indian reservation without the Indians became this national refuge, this Mulherne National Wildlife Refuge. The Hammonds came in 1964, purchased their ranch in this area, and ever since that time, pretty much, the federal government, via the Bureau of Land Management, as well as the Fish and Wildlife Services, began this full-court press against them and ranchers around them to take their property. But not just take it through normal means, hey, we'll buy it from you. No. They did everything in their power, legally or illegally, I should say, to take away, make their life miserable, cost them money. It'd be like a vexatious litigant. It'd be like somebody, let's say you're a business owner and somebody wants your business. So instead of, you won't sell it to them? Well, they're going to sue you every day or every other week, you know. So you're tied up in court, you're bleeding money. That's what this, but they're, or you know, terrorizing you in other means, using other means. But this is the federal government doing it. So again, I go back to the people who are these keyboard warriors, and they say, well, these people are idiots, and you know, they get what they shoot them, go ahead and shoot them. Shame on you. Shame on you for taking that position, and you better rethink this. Anyway, during this, since 64, when the Hammonds bought the ranch, and throughout the 70s and 80s, 90s, and into the 21st century, the federal government did everything to take away this property and to strip the Hammonds of their rights to own this property. Fast forward to the fall of 2001, Stephen Hammond and Dwight Hammond set a controlled burn, a prescribed burn on their property to cull the vegetation. Later, they started the fire in 2001, and what happened was it went on a controlled burn, 127 acres of federal land. However, the Hammonds were able to control the fire, put it out without the aid, assistance of the fire department or any resources, federal or county or state resources. It was out. That was it. Fast forward to 2006. A lightning storm came over the Hammond Ranch and that property, the refuge property, started a whole bunch of fires with the grass and vegetation around the property. So what the Hammonds did was they created a backfire to stop the fires from destroying their land and their buildings. Backfire worked. It was successful. Absolutely 100% successful. It worked. There was no incidents. The fire went out. All right. Well, the following day, and this is where it really gets interesting. The following day, the federal agents went to the Harney County Sheriff's Office and filed a police report making the accusation against Dwight and Stephen Hammond for starting a backfire. They said, you can't do this. A few days after the backfire, the a member of the Burns District BLM office called up Stephen Hammond, and this should be a lesson to all of us. You get a call from a federal agent. Call up Stephen Hammond and says, hey, meet me in town for some coffee. We'll have a cup of coffee. I want to talk to you. Yeah, think again before you meet the federal agent for coffee, I guess, is the takeaway from this. But so Stephen Hammond met this federal agent at a coffee shop. They apparently talked, had coffee, whatever. On his way out, the federal agent, as well as the Harney County Sheriff, Dave Gelrup, arrested Stephen Hammond. But not only did they arrest him, they said, hey, Steve, call your dad. Have him come down here. We want to talk to him. Stephen complied, called his father, Dwight. Dwight came down, and bam, they arrested Dwight, too. Well, that was in 2006. Now, you have to understand, this is right after the lightning storm and the successful backfire and management of that, and 5 years after the 2001 controlled burn. Well, they were charged with setting the fires, and this went through the process. The county district attorney reviewed the accusations, evidence, and charges, said, look, there's nothing here. We're going to drop the charges. And they did. The district attorney dropped all the charges. Well, what the federal authorities, U.S. Attorney's Office, what they did, they looked at this and said, you know what, we don't like this. We already have the charges here, so we're going to charge them under a different statute. So what they used was the Federal Anti-Terrorism Effective Death Penalty Act of 1996. Did you hear what I just said? They used the Federal Anti-Terrorism Effective Death Penalty Act of 1996 to recharge Dwight and Stephen Hammond as terrorists for starting a controlled burn on their own property to save their property and land. Now the federal agents charge them under the Terrorism Act, which carries a minimum of 5 years and a maximum of death, hence the name. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Now think about what is going on here. Well, all right. So they went to trial. Of course, had to spend a lot of money. Went to trial. And the trial was really it was a travesty. All right. I'm not going to get into all the intricacies of the trial, but the jurors were brought in from another county or from other areas. They're unfamiliar with the customs and practices of ranchers. The trial itself, the judge did some things that are questionable at best. Anyway, they were found guilty, and now this is a county, or this is the charges under the 1996 Terrorism Act. They were found guilty, and they were sentenced to months in prison, a period of time in prison. All right. So, what happened after that was they served their time, and They were actually sentenced on. They were found guilty on June 22nd, 2012. They served their time for the two fires, the 2001, 2006 fires. But they served their time, and Judge Hogan, who presided over the trial, sentenced the father to 3 months in prison, and Stephen, the son, to 12 months in prison. So they served that time. They also had to pay $400,000 to the Bureau of Land Management. That's nearly $500,000. Can you believe that? $400,000. The judge overruled the minimum terror sentence of 5 years. No, we're going to just keep it to the 3 and 12 months, respectively. All right. Well, this was not good enough for the federal government. They decided to recharge Dwight and Stephen Hammond. We're going to recharge you under the mandatory guidelines of the act. And this is where the real travesty comes in. On January 4th of this year, 2016, Dwight and Stephen Hammond surrendered to serve out their remaining sentence at the urging of the U.S. attorney, the federal government. In other words, the federal government said, look, you need to put them back in prison. You need to fulfill their minimum sentence. So now you've got Dwight and Stephen Hammond going to jail for arguably a non-offense, all right, serving out not just what they are serving out the remainder of this mandatory 5-year sentence under the Terrorism Act. Now think about that. But the other part of this is they have to pay $200,000 to the Bureau of Land Management, plus the stipulation, if they sell their property, if they are going to sell the property to pay the $200,000, the first person or the first agency that has the rights to buy it is the Bureau of Land Management, the federal government. So the bottom line, this is nothing more than a land grab. So you have the ranchers and other protesters understanding what's going on and saying, this isn't right. We're going to help you. We understand now. We do understand that this is not right. So they went to this refuge, which is really the which surrounds the Hammonds property. They went to this refuge, overtook it, and said, look, get off our land. You have stolen our land to the federal government. You've taken our land from us. We are going to put a stop to this, and we are going to have the eyes of the world looking at this situation and understanding what's going on. But no one is there, at least not from the mainstream media, not Fox News, not your best conservatives. No one is there to really tell people what this is all about. So this is all about, this is about stopping the federal government from taking the Hammond Ranch. This is end of story. And by, well, by default, taking your land, because this can happen to you. I hope this clears up the misconceptions out there, and I hope this stops the people who really know nothing about this. I hope this stops them from demonizing the people who are trying to stand up against the tyranny of the federal government. And we're going to have Chris Ann Hall, the constitutional attorney, on. Just we're trying to work out some schedule issues with her. We're also going to have Chris Briels on as well, the ex-fire chief who quit in protest of the federal government's highly irregular, well, I should say perhaps regular at this point, tactics in trying to create an incident within the Patriot Movement in Burns, Oregon. So, folks, what you've heard, everything you've heard about Burns, Oregon, you better rethink this. Now, if you're a conservative, truly a conservative, I appeal to you, and especially if you're one of means, where you have lived your life and you've got property, the property that you intend to will or deed to your son or your heirs after your death, you better start looking at this in the proper context. You better understand the federal government wants to take your land from you. They don't want your son or daughter or your family to inherit your land. In fact, they don't want to wait until you die. They want to take it from you now. So this is what this is all about. So I'm really grieved about the comments on other websites and internet forums, the people that are absolutely clueless or willfully ignorant or trolls, if you will, to change the narrative and to make this into something it's not. It's not about anything except this massive overreach by the federal government to take away your rights and your land. And at the cornerstone of our constitutional rights is our ability to own land ownership. That's what that's really at the forefront of all this. So, folks, please, understand. Really, take time out to understand really what's going on. If you like this, and if I've helped you understand this a little bit better, please share this with other people. Get the word out, and let's not be ignorant as to what's going on. Let's not allow the press and other media to demonize these very people who shouldn't be demonized, who stood up, who had the courage, cojones to stand up and to make a stand at this refuge and to say, no, you're not going to go any further, not now, and we're going to stand up against the tyrannical overreach of the government. They should not be characterized or demonized in any fashion other than, hey, we're trying to bring attention to this problem. And they did. The message is out there. It's been heard. Now, I do hope the Patriot Movement will get behind not just the members who stood in the gap in Burns, Oregon, but everyone who has tried to make a difference. Folks, we need to come together. We need to stick together. And by the way, those people who are looking for the political solution, whether it be in your man Trump or in your man, no, this is not to demonize or to denigrate anybody. If you're looking for a political solution in the in the Republican or so-called conservative arena, you're not going to find it. You're going to be sorely disappointed because it doesn't exist. We have to fix this at the grassroots level, the problems at the grassroots level. We have to, each one of us, every one of us individually has got to make a decision and say we're going to make a difference. And we have to team up with others, like-minded individuals, and stand in solidarity. This is the only thing, this is the only way we're going to enact changes. But, and if you feel it's too late, well, God did not give us the, God has not instructed us to be pushovers. All right, we have to stand up together and not consider this a fait accompli. We know how the story ends, but we have to fight nonetheless. And I urge everyone to get together, fight, and look at the real big picture here. That's the big thing. Look at the big picture, not the smaller things, but look at the big picture and look at what's really going on here. Understand that there are no political solutions to spiritual problems. This country is embroiled in a spiritual morass like never before. Yeah, we might not be able to come out of this this nosedive, this country intact, but nonetheless, we have to stand in the gap in the meantime. God bless you, folks. Thank you for listening. Good night.
So there you have it. I don't know if that explains it well. Joe, if I can just take a second here, add a couple of things.
Sure.
having a little bit more time right now. You know, this is so insidious. The actions of the federal government is so insidious, what they've been doing. This is not your typical just harassment or your typical I want your land.
All.
No, you gotta go back. Go ahead.
This started because of a double jeopardy, a case of double jeopardy that should never have been. The Hammonds were arrested and charged, sentenced, served their sentence for a crime of basically letting a brush fire get out of control.
Well,
the judge stepped in after that they were released and said that their original sentence was bogus and resentenced them. This is what Fox News refuses, and this is what the media refuses to talk about. If they can do this to these people starting brush fires that they were allowed to start, that did get out of control, but nonetheless, they can do this for anything. Anything. If a judge has the authority after somebody's been sentenced and served their sentence and are out of jail to come back and say, your sentence was void and we're going to resentence you. I mean, there is no law of the land. It's anarchy.
I don't think I could add to that, you know, that sentiment.
It's the NDAA. It's what it is.
Well, it's the civil side of the NDAA, I would say. Because, but you know, this goes back, and if people think, well, this is just kind of under Obama or just recent, no, you know, this goes back to 1908 when Theodore Roosevelt took land around the Mulhare Mud and Harney Lake area up there, and took land and said, I'm going to designate this as an Indian reservation. However, there were no Native Americans up there. And he also expanded it to include like a wildlife and bird refuge. Except though, Joe, listen to this. The migratory birds flourish better on private land than they did on the federal owned land.
I mean, imagine Bill Ayers, the Weather Underground terrorist who bombed Parks Plaza police station in San Francisco, killing a police sergeant and many other, along with other buildings. Who Larry Grathwalt, may you rest in peace, one of our friends, exposed. And he came out after being found not guilty and said, guilty as hell, free as a bird.
Yeah. I wish
he wasn't resent. He wasn't rearrested and put back under trial.
That's right.
I mean, this is a dangerous precedent that was set here.
I love it when you show your teeth like this. Go ahead. Keep going, man. Seriously.
I mean, it's we have enough problems as it is as a nation. What is it about the Hammonds that caused that was their original, their original sentence and their original jail term was not enough. Why was it not enough? Was it solely because they wanted the land and because Hillary Clinton sold the mineral rights of the that was part of that land to the Russians?
That's part of
Did
it.
Did they have to send them back to jail to get that land?
Well, I mean, see,
what's next?
The collateral part of that, it just doesn't include the jail sentence, but the fine with a guilty verdict of $400,000, so they can seize the house.
So they basically should. Yeah. I mean, for all, and they might as well have been selling crack cocaine in mass quantities.
There you go. And yeah, this is what it's all about, and this is why to cover it. To put the live feed out there, we can memorialize what the FBI did and everything, but it ended well. But to avoid that appearance of blood and bread and circuses, and I said blood, but I guess I was thinking that, it's looking at this, this is where I think now, right now, today, for those people just having an understanding of this. Now we have to really make it a point so everyone understands what this is all about. And I know some people, I've gotten a couple of emails saying you should have done this, 5-6 weeks ago, January 4th or whenever it was. Well, yeah, woulda, shoulda, coulda, right? I mean, yeah, I agree. But now we're doing it today, all right? I don't see many of the mainstream media or hardly any of the mainstream media doing this. If any, or they're depicting
them. Not allowed.
That's right. Well, yeah,
they
I agree.
Don't want to.
Well, they're depicting these people as kooks. Now, I understand the last guy out of there was a little bit, kind of went sideways, and then everything went sideways. But you have to understand too, you're not dealing with. That's what they want you to focus on.
I mean, there was a time before the shooting happened, before the arrest of Ammon Bundy happened, where they were negotiating with the FBI. Ammon Bundy was negotiating with the authorities. Then there was a point in time, actually the day or day before the arrest, where the FBI refused to continue negotiating.
Right.
Ending all chances for a peaceful solution. They chose to put their foot down. And Loretta Lynch had a lot to do with this.
Well, I'm
and
really...
And so did Obama, because there were pressure from local and state politicians to do something. And as soon as that article came out, the very next day is when the negotiating stopped, and then the very next day after that was when the arrest and shooting took place.
Okay.
I wonder how much of the pressure from above caused the actions on the ground.
Well, and I'm looking, too, at all angles, including the numerology of this, and dare we even go there? Yeah, why don't we? Isn't it interesting? 2:10 or 2:11, 16. The numbers. Look at the numbers again. Why out of the entire? Why during this entire period did they pick this date? The FBI and the federal agencies. Why this day or why yesterday? Knowing that it would spill into this day, presuming it would anyway. Why? Because they were in control, so they can control the dates and. When they move and when they do things. Is it a message via numerology in part? That's the other part of it too. But even staying mainstream, if you will, what you said, Joe, is absolutely correct. It's they were, I mean, think of this. Here you are, a rancher who gets resentenced under the 1996 terrorism laws, this terrorism act, they were resentenced. Let me see here. I just want to make sure I've got the name of this act right, correct. It was the 1996. Okay. I only have about 17 or 18 pages worth of notes here on this, but it was the Terrorism Act in 1996 that basically they were facing death, a death penalty for what they did. Death penalty. Now, can you imagine being arrested over maintaining your land, doing something that's been done for a century, and potentially facing the death penalty? And yet we've got keyboard warriors, saying, kill him, go ahead, shoot him.
Shoot the terrorists.
Shoot the terrorists. Well, I guess by definition, or by legal definition, according to the feds, they are terrorists, right? But you know what? You're going to find yourself in that position. You're going to find yourself being labeled a terrorist. You're going to find yourself not having land. Because this is all about the land and what you said about the federal mineral stuff going on.
And if you're not the one being called a terrorist, you will be the ones telling on and you know, sucking up to the jackbooted thugs that are running this police military state that we see in front of us, and doing so, you know, for scraps of and morsels of food to keep yourself alive as the economy collapses. Not to switch gears here, but there is major economic news.
Oh, this is
the
incredible.
The world economy is trembling. The headlines from NBC, MSNBC, Fox News, talking like this: is the U.S. economy running out of gas? Gerald Celente did an excellent story where he stated that the global crash of 2016 will be twice as devastating as the 2008 crash. And one thing he says, the world is scared to death of deflation, and it's going to... he says people should be scared. People should be scared to death of deflation, and it's more than just oil prices that are deflating. According to Bloomberg's commodity index, commodities have now plunged to 1991 levels. It goes on from there. We're looking now at the panic of 2016 and the second round, what has politely been called the Great Recession. In many countries, it's going to be a full-blown depression. That's why our prices are plunging across the globe along with the stock markets. And let me add, thank you again, Larry, the Baltic Dry Index is not getting any better. It was down to 290 yesterday. Don't know what it had today.
BDI guy, Larry M. Yeah. From Santa Clarita, California, resident Baltic Dry Index guy. Go ahead. Sorry. Give credit where credit's due. What is it?
Here, Larry sent us an update. He says there was no change in the Baltic Dry Index today. It held firm at yesterday's close of 290. Thank you very much, Larry. No change is, so 290. And, you know, every day that it continues to move down, it hits its new all-time low. This is still its new all-time low. And in May 20th of 2008, it was at 11,000 plus.
Look at what the metals are doing. Where are the metals? The gold is up.
Yeah, gold
silver
went
is up.
What, 5% today? Something like that.
It was, you know, it was at.
Here, I got it right here on Celente's site.
And silver went up, and you know they're calling. And I used to, you know, I used to wonder about the precious metals. I used to wonder. Well, geez, you know, could we see the highs like a $100 silver?
You don't want to live in, I've heard it been many times by many economists, you do not want to live in a world where, you know, you have $10,000 gold and you know, $150 silver. But the gold, let's see, it came in today, at a close of $11.96. It is up,
wait a minute, whoa, what did you just say?
Oh, sorry, wait, today's the 11th, 12.37.
12.40. 1240.50.
Okay, good.
This is what I'm getting on the spot price as we speak.
1246.40, up $49 today.
Okay, all right. And silver, 15.78.
And that was down at 1430 in the last 2 days.
Yeah, I just want to correct this, or I just want to make sure people are aware of this. We're talking in real time right now. Gold is at $1,240.35. It did drop $8.55. in the last half hour. So 1240.35, and silver is at 15.78. Why is this important? Is it because we all want to get rich on silver and gold? No. These are indicators. This is kind of like taking your temperature, or taking the temperature of a loved one or a child who's sick and saying, hey man, we better get the little Johnny here to the hospital because little Johnny's running a fever. And in this case, the economy is running a really bad fever. And it's looking real bad. So, you know, I'm glad you're, like, this is great. You're really pushing a lot of stuff, a lot of buttons today. Before we continue, I just want to say hello to Bernadette. Bernadette B., listening live in Ireland. Thank you, Bernadette, for your email. She writes, I want to thank you both. I've been listening to your show for the past 3 years here in Ireland. Love it. You've taken me on a journey, educating me on all different kinds of topics. My eyes are now wide open. Here in Ireland, our media is very censored. Being in Ireland, she said the world revolves around us. I'm so grateful for all the important information you've shared with us. Thank you, Brenda. This is from our guests, or for our guests, not us. It's interesting that people are writing to us, and even in Ireland. What caught my attention here is the fact that the media is censoring the information, and this is coming more and more prevalent, Joe. We've been getting so many emails, people, I can't get your program, or you're being censored on the search engines and such, so... Thank you, Bernadette and others. But yes, getting back to the economy, Silver Doctors has got some pretty interesting headlines, Joe. I know you saw them. You were on there. I don't even know how to describe them. Profane in a number of ways, in a number of levels. Profane headlines about the economy. Are we seeing, Joe, do you think we're seeing the end game here? I mean, because we could talk about this all day long, but do you think we're seeing the end game play out?
The end game play out in a way. We are seeing the jockeying and positioning. We are seeing what they want us to see. The end game will be very sudden, and what's going to happen is after the world economic collapse, we're going to see a new system implemented. And that could very well be the Antichrist system. And from there, you know, what place do Christians have, or people who will not take the mark of the beast have in that world? I don't know. But as far as this, what we're seeing now, I do believe that this has to be torn down in order for it to be put back up. They're going to have to call the population, just like they talk about with their eugenics, just like they want to. It's not enough. They're not killing people fast enough with the, 4,000 abortions a day and the slow killing through the air, water, and food. They're going to have mass casualty events, whether it's us killing each other through civil war for food and survival, or it's all-out war with other nations, which I would see as being harder to carry out, seeing that, we are just... so sick and tired of war as a people. I don't know, but none of it, I do not see it ending well for Christians either way. Look what's happening in the Middle East, and look what has happened in the Middle East to Christians specifically. Millions, this headline, it was just today out of London, Syria crisis, 15 million more refugees headed to Europe. And they say, and rebels say Britain is to blame, but there's also articles about the White House being chastised about their supporting of the Syrian rebels or ISIS, allowing ISIS to continue their killing spree throughout not only Syria and Iraq, but swaths of Libya. Aleppo, I believe, has been captured again. I'm going to have to recheck this headline here to see. And more than 1 million have been besieged in Syria, a new UN report has claimed. So things are not getting better in the Middle East. Things are not getting better in the United States economy. And to compare the what's going on in the U.S. to what's going on in the Middle East is completely irrelevant and unfair.
Right.
But it is what we see in the Middle East. Expect to live through that here in America. I guess that's what I... wanted to say.
No, I think you're absolutely right. What we see taking place, especially in Europe right now, is the template for the United States. And I think to our friends in Western Europe, especially, that's coming here. And even equally important, it's to our Christian friends in the Middle East, this is coming here. When the Bible speaks of Christian persecution and prosecution, but persecution, I think we're in for a real, real long and tough road. And I don't believe, this is my personal belief, I am in line with Pastor Langford and Steve Quayle, when we talk about, you know, the rapture, I'm in line with what they say, having read Pastor Langford's book, Revelation 13 Revealed. Look, I don't know. I don't know, okay, except to say the Bible tells that there's some problems coming, and we're going to endure that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
absolutely.
So I my bags are not packed for, you know, for some thing with the rapture. That's just my personal opinion. Look,
if I mean, if the rapture happens and we're taken away,
yeah, yeah. I mean,
who's going to complain about that?
No,
I will not. Yeah. What am I going to say? God, no, put me back. Of course, I would not. I would love to be taken out of here without having an enduring any kind of you know, tribulation, persecution, suffering, or watching family and fellow believers suffer. Of course, I'd love to. For that to happen.
But I don't think, you know, I just don't think it's an issue that people should fight about.
Right. Because I don't think anybody truly understands how it's going to happen. I don't think anybody has it right.
Because I don't either.
I think it depends on, I mean, prophecy is written. But why do you think the rapture, post, pre, whatever, is so nonspecific and not detailed and talked about? And, you know, the Lord does say, hide, you know, yourself for a moment until the indignation passes over, or, you know, be found worthy so you're able to escape all these things. There are clues and hints that say that, you know, people will survive this or be taken away or be protected unscathed. But it also says all who believe in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It also says in the time of the end that the devil's wrath will be harsh because his time is short and he knows it. And it also says that he's coming for believers.
Very well said. Very well placed in context. Right on the money, man. You must be really like on. And good thing you're even small.
I was reading. You know what I've been reading?
Health Master's Vitamins.
For the last hour before the show. The UN New World Religion, Lucius Trust, Alice Bailey's crap. Okay, so yeah, a little.
Okay.
And I had some.
Why aren't people talking about this stuff as opposed to focusing in on the stupid Democratic debates, which don't mean a hill of beans in the larger. You might as well watch a basketball game or a football game. You might as well watch the escapades or escapades. Yeah, those things. It don't matter. It doesn't matter. Gary J., thanks for this email. And he writes this. He said, wow, Doug, you've finally grown a pair. Now, wait a second. I had them. I just didn't know where they were. Okay, I just let my wife borrow them for a couple of days. No. What he was referring to about the Oregon situation, he said, you know, shocked that better late than never, you know. But Gary and ladies and gentlemen, I ask your forgiveness and indulgence with this, because you know you get people that are yapping in your ear about things and saying, okay, this is what it's all about. No. Then I give a lot of credit to the conservative Treehouse, who really went deep into the history of this. But it takes a level of investigation and research to really get to the bottom of what is taking place, so you're not gamed. I was talking to Dave Hodges about this, and he was telling me the other day, you're not getting it, man. You're just not getting it. And I didn't get it. And I admit this. So I consider myself relatively, you know, somewhat intelligent. I mean, right? I'm not the brightest bulb necessarily, but I guess I'm okay. So if it's difficult for me to understand this, I get it. I get it why the people aren't understanding this. So what we need to do is to really stand up and say, okay, now look, everyone's got to know what's going on. This is why I reached out to Chris Ann Hall. And again, she's going to be coming on. This is why we reached out to Chris. And I want to thank Ken Kay from Ken from Care Around the Midnight, setting us up with an interview with Chris Briel, the ex-fire chief of Burns, Montana. That's coming. But the bottom line here, it's difficult, but really quick, Gary J. writes this, don't forget the Hunger Games aspect of this, the inability to supply our own country with home-raised cattle and homegrown vegetables. Do you really want your beef from China? Congratulations on a great show thus far. Thanks. But you know, yeah, you're right. Gary, again, look at the bigger picture, and Gary is doing that. We've got the best and most intelligent audience in the world. Go ahead. I'm going to let you have the last minute.
We are up against our top of the hour break. When we come back, we're going to be talking with Dr. Michael Lake. He's the author of the Shinar Directive.
Yeah.
And his new book, I don't even want to start to
It's just a sequel of The Shiner.
It's the Shariah imperative, empowering the remnant to raise, R-A-Z-E, hell. He sent us the table of contents, and if this book is half as good as his last book, it's going to be fantastic.
Well, so I got a chance from him. I got a chance to read.
You wrote the forward to this, didn't you?
Well, yeah, I'm not sure if he's going to use it or not.
Forward by Doug Hagman.
Oh, yeah, I guess he is. Okay.
We'll be right back with Dr. Lake on the other side. Stay with us.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.